As the 1970s drew to a close, Talking Heads had emerged as one of the most exciting American bands in years. By then, though, the band was looking to go in a radical new direction. That direction was more than 5,000 miles away, in Nigeria. That's the music of Fela Kuti. His sound came to be known around the world as Afrobeat. And its rhythmic complexity inspired Talking Heads to produce their landmark 1980 album, Remain in Light. Meanwhile, a young woman originally from Benin, just west of Nigeria, heard that record. She recognized the familiar refrains of Afrobeat. Her name was Angelique Kidjo. She later became popular all over the world for her own music. And now she has chosen to record her version of Remain in Light, stripping away the new wave and performing as if it really had been conceived in West Africa. Angelique Kidjo spoke with David Green about how she first came to hear this music.
Well, I discovered this album when I arrived in Paris in 1983, because in the middle of the 70s, we have the communist dictatorship that took place in Benin. And suddenly the radio that we used to listen to and listen to Fela, listen to the Beatles, listen to all kind of music, becomes a place of darkness. It's every morning you wake up, you hear, ready for the revolution, the fight continues. You eat that up from morning till the evening, and it goes back in circle. And when I arrived in Paris, actually, I was determined to catch up with the music that I didn't have.
that you had missed.
Absolutely. I became a music junkie. And I went to a party with some friends of mine. And somebody was start playing the song of the Talking Heads called Once in a Lifetime. And everybody was standing, dancing weirdly. And me, I was grooving in it. And I told them, this is African music. And they're going, hell no, this is rock and roll. You African are not sophisticated enough to do this kind of music. I say, all right.
What? They were telling you, no, you're not hearing what you think you're hearing?
Yeah, yeah. But it's okay. But I'm like, okay, you don't know. But I mean, at that point already, I have been having so many racist comments about how not human being we were, that we ride on the back of elephant to go buy my grocery, all those kind of stupid stuff in the 80s. And I was very shocked and taken aback, because I grew up in a household where I have access to books, education, music. It really feed my inspiration to open my world and the world to them and say, you don't know. Letting the days go by.
So talk me through what inspired you to record your own versions of these songs.
It's very weird for me to be able to explain to you how it started, because every song for me have a response in my head of a folk song from my country. And every song has a meaning differently to me. Like take Bird on the Punches. Take a look at these hands. What comes to my mind when I heard that song is the fact that corruption in this world is a crime against humanity. And for me, those words that people are telling me, why do you want to do that? The words of the Talking Heads are absurd. It doesn't feel that way to me when I listen. There is a sense of anxiety if you listen to it. There is a sense of being uncomfortable, because it's touching up on so many things that we live in on a daily basis, where we don't question and where we don't react upon. So for me, Burn on the Punches was exactly that.
All of this makes me want to ask you about a conversation in the United States that's been happening about cultural appropriation. I mean, the idea of people in a majority culture misusing or financially benefiting from the culture of a minority. And I wonder if that ever came to mind when you were listening to Talking Heads and listening to, you know, this big band bringing in African influences.
I always say, when you are inspired by a music and you acknowledge that source of inspiration, it is cultural expansion. But when you deliberately take somebody's music and put your name on it, it's not even cultural appropriation, it's stealing, period. Cultural appropriation doesn't exist. Because for me, if we all start talking about cultural appropriation, we can't do nothing, we won't move forward anymore. Because I have role models that have inspired me. The music I do is not exactly the music, but do we call it cultural appropriation when they inspire me to write the music the way I write my music? The Talking Heads, when they release this album, in the press release, they acknowledge the fact that they were listening to Fela when they did this album, and they tell people, you want to understand our album, listen to Fela. And at that time, people find it very pretentious.
There's a reason this conversation feels so unique and special for me. I mean, I interview a lot of musicians, and sometimes I'm in the position of begging them to tell me, like, what do these lyrics mean? What's the deeper meaning here? And often musicians won't really want to go there. They just want to let their lyrics kind of stand for themselves. But you're taking these songs that a lot of people have been trying to interpret from Talking Heads, and in such a deep way, you're telling us what they meant to you and your family and your country.
Yep. That's what traditional musicians of my country have taught me. It doesn't matter how hard the subject is. Make it danceable. Bring people to the table to have a discussion. Open doors that are closed. If you have the gift of song, if you're an artist, whatever art you touch upon, empower yourself to be able to empower other people.
Anjali Kidjo, this has been a great time. I really enjoyed talking to you, and best of luck with this album.
Thank you so much.
That was Anjali Kidjo. Her new album is a song-by-song re-recording of the classic Talking Heads album, Remain in Light.
Sometimes the world has a load of questions. Seems like the world knows nothing at all. The world is near, but it's out of reach.